Calling all my Asian squad everywhere! It is time to put a spotlight on our story! Welcome to your dose of inspiration with me, Richard Juan. For our episode today, we have a U.S. gymnastics national team member. She's a two-time World Championships gold medalist. She recently made headlines for her moving speech at the Stop Asian Hate rally in New York City. Folks, let us all welcome the phenomenal athlete, Morgan Hurd! Hi, Morgan!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. My God. I mean, I think our time difference right now is around 12 hours. No, it should be 12 hours. So it's 11 p.m. there?
Yes, 11 p.m.
Thank you for staying up. I mean, I'm sure you, as an athlete, you usually have probably sleep early or something like that.
No, I'm actually quite a night owl.
Oh, wow. How's that? Is that okay being an athlete? Because I thought you guys have to sleep early, wake up early, that kind of stuff.
It's probably not the healthiest, but unfortunately, it's the way my body works.
That's good. So for today, we'll just be discussing two main things. One, of course, is your story and in regards to, you know, the Stop Asian Hate movement. So before we get into the other topic, let's start with your story. How did you get into gymnastics and why did you choose this sport?
So when I was younger, my mom just put me in multiple different sports just to keep me active. I was obviously in gymnastics. I did ice skating, several different types of dance, soccer, and I believe t-ball. And then obviously as I got older, I couldn't do all those sports. So one by one, I started to quit them. And gymnastics was just the one I always wanted to go back to. It was just so different. I got to do something different every single day, and it wasn't just something repetitive.
And is it, sorry, this is just me wondering, like, is it true that gymnastics does not make you grow taller? Because I have gymnast friends who are relatively small for some reason.
Yeah, gymnastics can stunt your growth. I guess it's the pounding and the vigorous training hours. I mean, I'm 19 years old and I'm only 4'9", so.
You think that is directly related to gymnastics?
I'm not sure, but that's what everyone says.
Okay, that's interesting. What about the guys? Are they also small, or is that?
Yeah, the guys are typically fairly short as well.
Okay. Well, I guess that's. I mean, I guess that's really gymnastics then. So you've been part of the U.S. national team for gymnastics. What was the process like to be qualified for that? Like,
I initially qualified in 2016, which was my last year as a junior, and I qualified at the U.S. championships, which is like a nationals. I placed in the top six, I believe, or maybe it was top five. I can't quite remember, and that's how I qualified.
And, I mean, is that something where there's like a, trial process? Or is it more of like they choose you, they see that, oh my God, you're doing well. Okay, we're going to choose Morgan to compete for the U.S. Like, how does that work?
It's actually can be a little combination of both. So you can either qualify directly at U.S. Nationals, which is like the first step. It's typically top, I want to say five or six that directly qualify onto the national team. And then the selection committee can also add members at nationals right then and there. If someone was, say, injured and they believe they deserve to be on the national team, like they were past national team members. And then we also go to national team camps where we are selected to go onto international assignments. And if someone that isn't on national team is selected to go onto an international assignment, then they are put onto national team.
Okay. So how's that whole process? Like, is it rigorous selection? I mean, I'm sure it's, I mean, US is so competitive. Like, is it harder for someone like you, quote unquote, being Asian American? Would you say there's some sort of favoritism towards different skin colors?
I wouldn't say so, just because growing up, even when I was younger, gymnastics seemed to me a very diverse sport. We have a lot of diversity on the team more recently as well. I went to the Pan American Games in 2019, and actually there was 5 members on the team, and 4 out of the 5 of us were Asian American.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, as a national team member, what is your daily routine like?
So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I wake up at around 7 o'clock. I leave my house by around 7:20, and I get to the gym around 7:40, 7:50, depends on the traffic. And then my first practice starts at 8:30. That practice ends at 12, and then I start up again at 2:30 and go to 5:30, and then I leave the gym and I go home, eat dinner, have a shower, do therapy or whatever. And then Tuesday and Thursdays, I wake up at the same time, get to the gym at the same time, but my practice goes from 8:30 to 1. And then the rest of the day, I'll go to physical therapy, or I'll work on whatever I need to. And on Saturdays, I work out from about 9 to 12, and then from 12 to 3, I coach at my gym.
Oh my God. So your whole life is all about gymnastics, like
Oh, yes,
literally.
quite literally, yes. My entire life is gymnastics.
So are you in college or are you not in college? Are you just really full time on gymnastics right now?
I am full time on in gymnastics right now. I graduated high school in 2019, and I've been deferring college ever since.
It's because of your own choice. Like you actually want to
Oh,
focus on gymnastics first.
yes, because in college gymnastics is extremely different from elite gymnastics.
In what sense?
It's a lot easier.
So usually college gymnasts will not be good enough for world championships. Is that safe to say?
It's not necessarily that they're not good enough. It's that a lot of college gymnasts, a lot of them were actually former elites, and they kind of like
Right.
after they're elite and everything, which is like what I'm planning to do after I'm done my elite path, I'll go to college, and it's kind of like a downgrade. The skills, you do a lot less skills. You train basically half the hours that you are right now. And college is also a lot more team oriented versus individual.
Okay. So usually at what age do you or do gymnasts go to college?
Typically, a gymnast peak age is between the ages of 16 and 19.
The peak ages at 16 to 19. That's so
Yeah,
young. So,
I know, it's so unfortunate.
okay, 'cause I mean I play football. Sorry, football as in soccer football, and the peak age for us would be like 28, 29, I think I would say 30. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Men's is a little later. It's like between, I'd say, like 20 and 25, maybe. They definitely compete a lot longer than the women, though.
So what when you say peak, like what happens after the peak? Is it 'cause your body's less flexible, less strong? Like what's the difference?
It's mostly just because that's kind of after that's like when you fully hit puberty and you're growing, and it's hard to keep up with your body with that strength. Like, gymnastics is a very much like feeling sport. You can be so strong and still just not completely feel it. Like, no matter how strong you are, how much endurance you have, sometimes it just doesn't work out.
So it is so different with other sports, huh?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
yeah, because I mean, like basketball, for example, you would peak, I think, at like what 30? I mean, 34, 30,
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
with 33. Yeah, like even women's
Right.
basketball, because I know Sue Bird, I think, is a WNBA player, and she's still playing at 40, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah. I mean, there is one gymnast, Oksana Chusovitina. I forget where she's competing for now. I think Uzbekistan, maybe. She's competed for like
Yeah.
4 different countries, and she's in her 40s and still competing. She mostly only does vault, but it's still crazy that she's still competing.
Okay, that's interesting. So of course you are a two-time world championship gold medalist. What was that feeling? Describe to me, if possible, how did you feel when you first win that first gold medal?
Oh my God, the first gold medal was just absolutely insane and so surreal. I wasn't even expected to make the world's team. I had a really bad nationals. I fell twice, I think. I barely made national team. I got that last spot. And I was really going in as the underdog. No one really even thought I was going to even make team. And then I went to camp and I actually ended up winning verification, and top spot is just kind of guaranteed a spot on the team. And then I wasn't the favorite to even going into the all around final. Like I said, I had a really rough showing that I had a rough showing basically that entire year. I was falling left and right. So I wasn't a favorite at all. It was a miracle I was in that first group. And the favorite was my teammate, Regan Smith.
Man, I'm not even sure if you can see this, but like, man, I am literally getting goosebumps. Like, I love an underdog story, and especially how you weren't even supposed to be part of the team, and just that whole story. Oh my God. Like, sometimes in life, if it's meant for you, it's meant for you. I think that's really the moral of this story, and per se.
Yeah,
That's
it was
insane.
insane.
So what is your next goal as a gymnast?
Currently, I am training to hopefully make the Olympic team for this year.
How's that process? What's the process there?
So we have US Nationals, and I believe the top 16, it might be more. I'm not completely sure. I kind of forget. The top 16 from there go on to Olympic Trials. And Olympic Trials is another 2-day all-around competition. And from there, the team will be chosen.
Okay. So how do you feel to be representing the Asian youth in gymnastics in such a big group of a US team? Because, you know, I'm sure the US team, like you said earlier, is very diverse. And would you say that there's extra pressure for you, or is that the same? Like, no biggie.
I definitely want to be able to be representation for Asian youth. I think it's very important for Asian youth to be able to look in all places and be able to see someone that looks like them so that they feel more comfortable in that area. I don't think it's too much of an added pressure. I just think it's just something extra.
Like cherry on top of like the sundae or something like that. Good, that's good to know. Okay, so now let's move on to a topic where it's a little bit more sensitive, especially with things that are going on right now. And of course, to be honest, you know, Morgan, the first thing I actually noticed you from NextShark's Instagram page. I saw your speech there, and I was like, oh my God, I definitely have to get you on the show. And you know, you recently spoke about, you know, the hate against Asian in the rally for New York City, and you made headlines because of that. And how do you plan to further combat racism in America, especially among young people like you?
I plan to continue using my platform. I've been blessed with a decent sized platform, and I don't want it to go to waste. I'm a big believer in silence is compliance. So I want to continue spreading information. I want to continue getting out there to protests and rallies and using my voice. And I believe in power in numbers as well, and hopefully starting some conversations that people weren't having before.
Would you say there's a significant change already compared to, let's say, when you were growing up? Like, you as an Asian American living in the US right now, do you think there is already significant change, or is it, or are we just still at the baby step, the first two steps?
I wouldn't say that there's significant change, but I would say that there is some. I think some people are finally realizing that those remarks, they're not jokes. And I think people are finally starting to recognize it and hopefully thinking before they speak and making some type of joke like that.
Correct. So let's go back a little. Let's talk about you growing up in America. Because if I'm not mistaken, you're an adoptee. How was that household like? Were you did you I mean I'm assuming that you were not able to get yourself exposed too much to the Asian culture.
Yeah, I basically was not exposed at all to the Asian culture. I think my mom took me to maybe a few New Year's celebrations in Philadelphia when I was really young. Nothing that I really remember too much. And up until I was maybe 9, I kept in touch with my adoption group, and we would do like reunions, but that's still not really immersing myself in the Asian culture because none of us knew about it. So I had a very different upbringing than the typical Asian American because my family was white and they didn't really immerse me in any of that. They brought me up as white, basically.
How does it work for an adoptee? Like, how does that whole process work, if you can share?
Yeah, so my mom obviously put in the paperwork to request adoption. They approved her. She received a picture of me, and it was like, "Do you want this baby or do you not want this baby?" And she was like, "Yes." So she flew to China. She was given me, and they basically were like, "You have 48 hours to look over your baby, to see if they have any basically defects that, and if you don't want the baby, you have 48 hours to give the baby back, essentially."
Is there like a whole bunch of paperworks that happens first in China too, or?
There definitely is. I know there's like some type of check that they had to come to the house, like whatever agency they went through, they have to come to the house, make sure, and like they check their incomes, they have background checks. It's like a very involved process.
Just to make sure that this is legitimate. But wow, that is a very interesting story, because I don't think I have any adoptee friends, and now that I know how the whole process works, then hey, I think it's a very normal thing to do nowadays.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Great, thank you for sharing that, and let's move on to our next question. So let's talk about growing up Asian in America. How can you describe your experience living in America as an Asian woman right now? Like, what are some of the good sides and some of the possible bad sides? Oh wow, that's a big side that
I'd say some of the good sides as of right now, I feel like I see a lot more Asian American and really young, like my age, Asian American woman really becoming more comfortable with themselves. I feel like I see a lot more in on my social media and them really putting themselves out there, and I really just love it because I wish I had seen that when I was younger, because I feel like growing up the way I did, it was just kind of like my small circle, and I grew up with in a predominantly white area with a bunch of white kids at my elementary school, especially. I think there was one other little black boy in my kindergarten class, and that was about it. And another Asian girl who moved back to Asia halfway through the year. But I feel like a lot of them are now more so embracing the culture and embracing themselves more, and I really just love to see it, and it makes me feel almost more comfortable as well.
What about the bad side?
I mean, I guess the bad side is it is kind of scary right now. Not only being Asian, but being an Asian woman, because history shows Asian women being fetishized greatly to men. I mean, they're always like, "That's my type, they love," and it's just disgusting. So even just being a woman and then being an Asian woman is just kind of like a double whammy. But yeah, I'm scared for myself, but I just feel like I'm more so scared that the next face I see is going to be someone that I know, because I don't know how I would possibly handle that.
So, you have a large following on social media and you have your own legion of fans online. How did social media become an instrument for you to fight social injustices in America?
I really feel like I found my voice and really took to social media starting last year when George Floyd was just like the last straw. At first, I've grown up in a culture, gymnastics culture, where a lot of us are so young and we've been thrust into the media spotlight at a very young age. I mean, we are literal children still. But the fans and people don't view us as children, so we make one little slip up and we're terrible people, we're canceled. So all of us are very scared of that, because we're scared that people are going to start to hate us. I mean, we're still kids, we're still learning and things. Of course that's going to happen. So I mean, last year I was already an adult, but the same thing applies. I'm still fairly young, I'm still learning. So at first, I was thinking, how would this affect me? How would this be perceived? Am I going to get quote unquote canceled for these kinds of things? But then I just really thought to myself that, well, this is bigger than gymnastics.
Like,
this is the real world. Gymnastics comes to an end, but this is something that will continuously happen. And I want to make sure that I'm using my platform for good and not letting it go to waste.
Correct, correct. I mean, we need more people like you to really speak up about this, or else, you know, I think it's part of Asian culture to a certain extent. I mean, I might be wrong, and people might correct me for this, but I feel like Asian culture, when we see injustice, we sometimes would rather just keep quiet and just let other people do the work. And I mean, of course, I know for you, you grew up in a white culture, white background, you know, and all that. And I'm just sharing this with you because I that's what I noticed with a lot of my friends, especially living in Asia, because I live in Asia. I lived in Asia all my life. And I feel like a lot of us here, we would rather just keep quiet and not be outspoken about most injustices. And because of social media, in fact, recently is where people start to speak up. They feel like they finally have a platform, because I think Asian culture in general just don't like confrontation. And because of social media, where you kind of have like an invisible wall in front of you first, and now it's a lot easier to speak up. And I admire you a lot, especially at 19 years old. You're at a rally, gave a speech about that whole thing in front of so many people, and that's just amazing. That's just amazing. But yeah, before we ask for your advice for young Asians out there, I just want to play a little game with you. All right, so this game we'll play is called I Sport You. So we will test your familiarity and knowledge on different types of sports. I will just mention names of athletes, and you'll just guess their sports. This should be easy, right?
This is gonna go terribly, I already know. I don't follow sports very closely. We'll see.
Okay. Serena Williams.
Tennis.
Yes. Mike Tyson.
Boxing.
Okay. Gabby Douglas.
Gymnastics.
Okay. Phil Mickelson. Ooh, a little challenging.
Diving.
It's golf.
Golf. Oh yeah, I would never have done that.
Okay. What about Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh my god, the name sounds so familiar. It sounds so familiar. Baseball.
No. It's football, like soccer football. Oh my god. Okay, what if I said Lionel Messi? No? No? Oh man, oh my god, I can't believe. Okay, so now I know how different it is in America than the rest of the world. Because you say Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, these are names like people know right away. It's soccer, football, right away. That's so cool. And then, no problem. I'm just sharing.
I'm just not a huge, like, sports person.
Right, okay. Last two here.
Oh my god.
Caitlin Osman.
Oh. God, I don't.
This has to do with winter sports.
Snowboarding.
Ice skating. Close enough. Okay, this is the last one. Ian Thorpe. Or I'll change it up. Michael Phelps. What did you say? Sorry?
Swimming.
Correct. Yes. Just had to make sure I hear that right. All right. So that wraps up our game, I Sport You. But before I let you go, Morgan, what is your advice for all the young Asians out there who would like to thrive in the gymnastics world?
My advice would just be to just go for it. Go in every day. Don't have any regrets. I feel that's how I live by. Years down the road, I don't want to have any regrets. Just really try your hardest every single day and don't forget to have fun. I mean, it's going to be hard. There's going to be so many more
hard days than good days, but you just have to push through them. It'll be worth it in the end.
All right, thank you so much, Morgan, for gracing our show. And thank you, of course, to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you guys got loads of inspiration in this episode. Until next time, guys, bye-bye.